Blog Talk Radio.
How many really thank the Lord for being alive here tonight?
Hallelujah. This is Elder Andre Prevost. Amen. And this is the Anointed Truth of Christ Uncensored. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I truly thank God. Hallelujah. That I am still alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of us can relate to that song more than you think. Hallelujah. When you look back over your life, you realize that it could have been you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You look at your friends, look at your family members, amen. People that are not just older than you, but looking at people that are your age. Praise God, hallelujah, that ain't here no more. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. But God, hallelujah, allowed you to still be here, meaning there is still purpose in your life on this earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we should just thank God. Hallelujah. We are still alive. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. Once again, I am Elder Andre Prevost. This is the Anointed Truth of Christ, Uncensored. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and open up tonight with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together tonight and congregate together in your name. Lord, we know that in your words, you said that when two or more are gathered together in your name, that you are in the midst, you are in the middle. And we thank you, Lord, for being in the middle of this tonight. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just come in and move in a mighty way. We just asking you to be who you are and do what you do and be God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Have your way on tonight, Lord. We rebuke any work of the enemy tonight. Hallelujah. Any unclean spirit, hallelujah, that wants to hinder what your spirit is saying to the church, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our souls so we can receive what the spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It is truly a blessing to be online tonight. Hallelujah. Truly a blessing to be in the presence of the living God. Once again, this is the Anointed Truth of Christ, Uncensored. Hallelujah. And we are blessed tonight to have a very special speaker on tonight. Hallelujah. None other than our very own, hallelujah, Bishop Andre Alexis will be joining us, hallelujah, in about 3 minutes. So we thank God, hallelujah, for him on tonight. Praise God. We want to remind everybody, praise God, hallelujah, that tomorrow, actually on Wednesday night, hallelujah, we will be having Bible study right here in Arlington, Texas at 2501, hallelujah, Centennial Drive. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's right next to Arlington Motorsports. Hallelujah. At 7 o'clock, praise God, we will be having Bible study. And we want to invite you to come out to Care Church, hallelujah, on Sunday morning. Praise God. At 9:30, we will be having Sunday school conducted by our very own professor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bishop Andre Alexis. And then we have our regular Sunday morning service beginning at 11 o'clock. But then at 10:30, from 10:30 to 11, praise God, hallelujah, we just pray. We have 30 minutes of prayer, praise God, hallelujah, 30 minutes of magnifying God, hallelujah, 30 minutes, hallelujah, of just giving him the praise, hallelujah. And some things that happen in those 30 minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. The power of prayer. We used to talk about it a whole lot. The power of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got to really and truly believe that prayer changes things. He said, whatever ye so desire, when ye pray, believe. Hallelujah, that you have received it and ye shall have it. When you believe, there's power in the words that are coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah, then you believe that your prayers are making it to God's ears. Praise God, hallelujah. The breakthrough, it comes so quickly when you believe. Hallelujah, on tonight. Praise God, hallelujah. So we ask you to come out for Bible, for Sunday school, hallelujah, praise God, at 9:30, praise God, pray with us from 10:30 to 11, praise God, hallelujah, and stay and worship with us and get a word from God, hallelujah, praise God, amen, praise and worship with us with First Lady Page, hallelujah, and get a word from God, hallelujah, from Bishop Mac Page, hallelujah, praise God. So we just ask you to come out and fellowship with us if you're in the Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth area. Praise God on tonight. And we thank God, hallelujah, for everybody who is on the line, everybody who has tuned in, everybody who has called in, hallelujah, on tonight. And we thank God for our speaker, on tonight. Hallelujah. He is none other than our very own, praise God, Bishop Andre Pierre Alexis. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the co-pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Or the assistant pastor right there at Care Church Incorporated. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the founder of Vision and Visionary of His Ministry One. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We advise you to go look up their website, His Ministry One. Praise God. Hallelujah. He also has a Facebook page, His Ministry One. Go like that page. Praise God. Hallelujah on tonight. Amen. Praise God. He is a man of God. Hallelujah. Well-versed in the word. Praise God. So I advise everybody tonight, get your pen, get your paper out. Hallelujah. Get ready to mentally take notes and listen to the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. As we are being taught. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. By one of the best. And I say that, hallelujah, wholeheartedly. Amen on tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others none other than our very own Bishop Andre Alexis. Bishop Alexis, you have the floor. Praise God. Let the Lord have his way. Amen. Praise God. Bishop Alexis, you on the line yet? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You must not have made it onto the line yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I just spoke to him just a few minutes ago, so I know. Amen. He is headed on. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we just, thank God for him on tonight. Praise God. Amen. And the word that God is preparing him to bring us on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's usually, amen, the thing I like about Bishop Alexis, he's usually telling us about our relationship with God. Amen. What do we think about God? Who is God to us? Praise God. How big is God? Hallelujah. Praise God. These are just a few of the questions that he poses to us weekly. Praise God, to enlighten our way of thinking about God. Because the way we see God, amen, that determines the things God can do for us in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Exactly. Every man is dealt his own measure of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. But watch this. If you got your own measure of faith, your own measure of faith, but faith is like muscle. Praise God. Everybody is born with their own muscle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody basically is born with the same muscle mass. Hallelujah. If you're the same height, amen. Praise God, you basically have the same muscle mass, but it's up to you what you do with that muscle. It's up to you whether you work it out. Hallelujah, praise God, and you build it up. Because if you don't work your faith out and you don't build it up, praise God, hallelujah. And if you ever been to the gym, you ever worked out or tried to work out or tried to do one of those exercise videos you seen late night on TV and you got to doing it and you notice this is hard work, this is tough. I'm huffing and puffing. I'm hurting a little bit. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going through some pain. I'm gonna have to if I want to look like that guy do on that commercial, I'm gonna have to endure some pain. If I want to look like that girl do on that commercial, I'm gonna have to endure some pain. Hallelujah. I'm gonna have to work some stuff out. And if you can see that when it comes to exercise and when it comes to your body, praise God, hallelujah, amen, along with fasting, I'm going to have to go without eating this. I'm going to have to go without this meal or cut that snack out. Praise God, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Why can't you see that when it just comes to life in general, when it comes to your relationship with Christ, when it comes to this walk amen, that we call Christianity, how come we can't see it then that we're going to have to endure some things? Praise God, hallelujah. We're going to have to go without some things. Praise God, hallelujah. But in the end, hallelujah, praise God. So see, in the end, praise God, you can see the results, hallelujah, of what you had to go through, praise God, to get to where you're at in the end. Hallelujah. You can see the results in the end. But see, you can't see them while you're going through. All you can feel is the pain and the heartache and the suffering. And all you can do is cry while you're going through. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, as long as you understand there's joy coming in the morning, as long as you understand, though you crying, I'm going to endure it. See, sometimes there was a song they used to sing back in the church. I trouble in my way, I gotta cry sometimes. Praise God, hallelujah. You gotta cry sometimes, hallelujah. Praise God. You're going through too much. You just gotta cry sometimes, but you know that God is gonna make a way. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know that God, hallelujah, has not abandoned you. You know that God has not left you. You know that God has not let you down. But you know that like they say in the world, at the end of the rainbow, but you know how far the rainbow is before you get to that pot of gold. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You know what they had to go through on the ship before they got to the other side? They had to go through a storm. Praise God. Hallelujah. But as long as you can understand, you're just going through the storm. Hallelujah. You're not going to stay in the storm. You're just going to go through the storm. And the problem is the enemy wants to come in when you're going through the storm and make you think you're stuck in the storm. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the enemy will try to do. He'll come in and he'll try to make you think that you're stuck in this storm. Praise God. He'll have you like Peter. You looking around at the winds and the waves. Hallelujah. How the waves are crashing against the boat. I cannot be this calm. That's when you start getting into your emotion. I cannot be this calm walking. I can't just be walking on water when all this stuff is going on around me. Praise God. Hallelujah. What am I thinking about? Usually it'll be somebody. God, the enemy will send somebody to make you look around. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the enemy's so tricky, he'll have you looking around at stuff that ain't there. Just looking for nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, girl, I check my man time card. I check it. Make sure it matches check. Praise God. Now you checking your man time card. Hallelujah. Praise God for nothing. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God on tonight. Hallelujah, let me see some. Bishop Alexis, have you made it on the line yet? Praise God. Amen. Amen, praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We just thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah for everybody who has called in, everybody who has tuned in on tonight. Praise God. I want to open up the floor real quick. Is there anybody on the line tonight that has a testimony or has a prayer request on tonight? I want to just open up the line for those of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can lay that on the throne of grace on tonight. Praise God. So is there one on tonight with a testimony or a prayer request? Amen. 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 Well, praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. We do.
You there, Bishop?
Amen.
Yeah, I want to pray for the Bishop Yvette Burroughs family. They'd had heart attacks and death, all in the same week in the same family. And so we want to ask that everybody would pray for that family. Amen.
Amen.
Pray for her family. The enemies that
have
been attacking them. And we want to stand in the gap for them.
Amen. 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 Praise God on tonight. We're going to take that prayer request right now to the throne of grace. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hallelujah. First of all, Lord, we come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord. First, we want to tell you thank you, Lord. We want to tell you, Lord, that we magnify you and we glorify you, Lord, for being who you are. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, just for the blood that you shed on Calvary for us some 2,000 years ago, Lord. Hallelujah. We come before you right now, Lord, on behalf of Sister Yvette, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, she's experienced some losses in her family on this week. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Death, hallelujah, has been at her doorstep, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you just comfort her in this time. Hallelujah. That you comfort the family members in this time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just send your Holy Spirit right now and you camp your angels around her. Hallelujah, Lord. And you comfort her right now. Hallelujah. In your son Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to keep Sister Yvette in prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. As Bishop Page just said, hallelujah, she's been had back-to-back deaths and heart attacks and strokes in her family. Hallelujah. Within the past couple weeks or so, praise God, back-to-back-to-back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's so stressful on her and all the rest of her other family members as well. Praise God. So we want to just keep her in prayer and keep her lifted up on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just thank God for everybody who has called in thus far, everybody who has tuned in thus far. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen on tonight. Bishop Alexis, have you made it online yet? Praise God.
Yes, I am here with you. I am here with you, Black Prince of Preachers. I am here with you.
Well, praise the Lord on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah. Without, amen, further ado, I want to introduce to some and I want to present to others, hallelujah, none other than our very own Bishop Andre Alexis. Hallelujah. Bishop Alexis, Professor, it is in your hands. Allow the Lord to use you in a mighty way on tonight.
Amen, amen, amen. We are winning, we are winning, we are winning. We are winning because of what Jesus has done for us. He has donated his victory and have given it to us, you and I. From Mount Calvary, he had declared that we are more than conquerors through him, through him. And I am grateful to say that I don't have to pour mouth the gospel. And sometimes I may fall below and live a little beneath the means of the gospel, but nevertheless, the Holy Spirit arises back up in me and bring me back to the place and set my feet back on the rock and put me in the place where God desired me to be. You know, and that's what who I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. if you have been with me in Sunday school, you know that we've been discussing the personage of the Holy Spirit. I thought the message was so intense and the message is so real that it should come out of the church house and come to the radio program. And so I'm going to attempt to dispel some of the myths, you know, concerning who the Holy Spirit is. Well, some people believe that the Holy Spirit is just a force that God gave the believers to help comfort them in time of trouble. Some people believe that he's a personal force and it's an it. And it shows up whenever it shows up, and whenever it shows up, you should be glad it shows up. Well, that's quite contrary to what the scriptures want the believer to understand and to believe. And what I want us to do is take the final authority of the scriptures. I don't want us to take theology, ideology, and any other etymology. I want us to let the scriptures speak plainly and boldly to our hearts to present the truth of who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I'm going to keep my comments to a bare minimum. I'm going to try my best to keep my comments to a bare minimum. But however, on a subject like this, it's hard not to sometimes make a comment. Well, number one, access to God. Ephesians 2:18 and 20 tells us that it's for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Build upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Next one I want you to look at it is the he anoints for service. And I did say he. Luke 4:18 and 19 says, it is the Spirit of the Lord that is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set the free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I have to make a comment here, because we notice that the scriptures continuously said it was he. It was he. It was he. He did this, and he done that, and he said this, and he anointed me, and it was he. It was he. So the scripture is definitely describing the Holy Spirit as a person. As a person. Romans 8:15-7 shows us the assurance. For the scriptures read, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if God's children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Again, I want you to pay attention to what the scripture said. The scripture says it was the Spirit himself testifies. Him, a person. The scriptures is counting the Spirit as a person. Him. Not an it. So what I am attempting to do is to have the Christian to put the Holy Spirit in the proper place in the personage of who he is. And that is in the Godhead. Is the Father, there's the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Keeping him in the proper place. Never making him an it again from tonight. I wanted you to, again, to take a look at the assurance that the Holy Spirit gives over in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I want you to understand that he authored the scriptures. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it reads, first of all, you should know this. No prophecy of scriptures come from one's own interpretation, because of no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Moved from God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture emphasis is on the person of the Holy Spirit, never making him an it in any of the instances of the Holy Scriptures. Never making him an it. And we as Christians must put the Holy Spirit in his proper place. We must reverence him in his proper place. After all, if you have children, I think you find it more respectful for your children to call you mom or dad than to call you by your first name or your last name. It is just respect and protocol of respect. I want you to see the baptizer in John chapter 1, verse 23 through 34. This is the longest verse that I chose, but I found it so interesting. And it reads as this. He said, this is John, I'm a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Just as the Isaiah prophet said. Now they have been sent from the Pharisees. So they asked him, why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet? And John said, I baptize with water. John answered him, someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to untie. All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here is the Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. I didn't know him, but she who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I have testified that he is the Son of God. I thought that was interesting because here we see the act of the Trinity. Here we see the Father, here we see the Son, and here we see the Holy Spirit. And we all see them, and we see them all in the work of salvation. It's the work of salvation beginning to take place. And we're grateful that God is showing us who he is. And it's important for us to recognize who he is according to how the scriptures relate him to us. So we must have a clear understanding on what the scriptures are saying about him. We don't need ideology. We don't need theology. We don't need on what we think. We need final authority, sola scriptura. That means the final say-so of the scriptures, sola scriptura. Now, I want you again to take a look at the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, as he baptizes. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. So the body is one part, but many. So there's not many spirits that we're dealing with here, and as far as the spirit of being holy. There is the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit, and that is the Spirit of God. And that is God in surmising as we relate him and give him proper accolations. He called and commissions over in Acts in chapter 34 through 34, chapter 13 and 34 through 40, we see this. Since he raised him from the dead, never returned to decay, he has spoken in this way. I will grant you the faithful covenant blessing made to David. Therefore, he also says in another passage, you will not allow your Holy One to see decay. For David, after serving his own generation in God's plan, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and decayed. But the one God raised up did not decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is being proclaimed to you. And everyone who believes in him is justified from everything that you could ever be justified from through the law of Moses. So be aware that what is said in the prophets does not happen to you. So here is the warning that you are to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. That you are to follow the Holy Spirit, that you are to understand his teachings and to follow his ways. We see the call and commission over in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. It reads, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day that for 3 years I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. Warning each one of you with tears. And now I commit to you And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not converted anyone with silver or gold or clothing. You clothe yourselves, you yourselves know that I, with my own hands, have provided for my own needs and for those with me that was with me. In every way, I have shown you that my laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus. For he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I have to now go back and make a couple of comments on this particular verse, because the thing here is that the writer says to us that you have been appointed and have been made an overseer, a shepherd, and is to the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. He says, now, I want you to continue to shepherd them. I want you to continue to guard over this flock. I want you to guard over it like it's like you purchased it with your own blood. But I want you to know that I got to go away. And when I go away, there are going to be some men that's going to come. And they're going to seek to turn the disciples away from the lessons and the teachings of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to come talk about their dreams. They're going to come and speak about how mighty their prophecies have been, how mighty their gifts of God have been. And they're going to even work miracles. They're going to do all sorts of diverse things. And they're going to draw many away, because many will come away because they have itchy ears and they're going to follow. But I want you to stand on guard. And I want you to shepherd over these men that are going to be willing to be ready to turn away, to return to them, and to follow them. These men seek to follow, have followers of themselves. You know them because of what they preach. They'll preach more about where they've been. They'll preach more about what they do. They preach more about how they've been living. They'll preach more about their own personal relationships. They'll preach more about their own personal dreams than they tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not preach from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the preacher. He's the one that will take that which is of Jesus and expose it to a world. He takes that which is of Jesus and he speaks and glorifies Jesus. He does not speak of himself. He does not talk about his wife. He does not talk about his children. He doesn't tell you about his fine cars, nor does he tell you about his vacations, nor does he tell you about his aches and his pains. He tells you about Jesus. You know, one of the things that I found in ministry is so heart-hurting is when I hear such good ministry crushed by the very thing that I just named. Men begin to tell you how great of prophets they've been and how great of a dream interpreter they've been and how great of all these things of casting out witches they've been. And they just begin to tell you all their own personal resume. You know, and I find it so distasteful, because I don't want to know about you. I don't care about you like that. I don't want to know anything among us except Jesus, because Jesus is the one who died for me. He died for me. I don't care about your vacations, and I'm sorry to hear about your children. And yes, I don't mind praying with you and praying for you and all these other things, but there's a time for you to relate that information to me. And coming out of the pulpit is not that time. We have people who are in desperately need to hear the message of the gospel. And it is the gospel that we must stay submitted to. If we humble ourselves unto the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel, then Jesus can arise. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And so I find it's one of the hardest things for ministers to do is to speak 30 minutes and not give the Jesus 20 of it. It's very hard for them to do. It's very hard for them to do. You know, if they have a 30-minute engagement, 27 minutes was all about them, you know. And I find it very distasteful. But, okay, that's my comments. Okay, those are my comments. But anyway, furthermore, in this particular context of the scriptures, we find that the laborer of this particular scripture has done everything with his own hands. He's not looking for anyone to support ministry. He's not looking for anybody to give to him. His closing words is what is most beneficial if we listen. Let me give you the closing words again. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, for he said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." You know. And so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with receiving, but there has to be a balance in things. There has to be a balance in things, you know. And so we strive for to be perfected in our ministries, that God may have the glory to him for his glory. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 and 13, we find that he's the cleanser. Now may our God and our Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we also do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. And so we see that the writer is very much interested in having the believer to have his conscience clean at the appearing of the Lord. He wants our conscience to be clean. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about living the best life that you can possibly live before God in all your power, with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might, before God, and then not trusting in any of it, but trusting in all of the works that Jesus has done for you from Mount Calvary. That's what we're talking about. That's how that relates. Do it all unto the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your strength, and then don't trust none of it, but trust in the finished works of Calvary, what Jesus has actually done for you. In Thessalonians 3:11-13, we find that now may God and the Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we also love you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, the admonishment is to have our hearts clean and pure and to be glad, not sad, when the face of Jesus appears. you know. And so, and that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to be not sad when Jesus comes. And the reason why a believer will be sad is because he knows that he hasn't lived the life worth the salt that he was supposed to live. And so he's sad. He'll be sad, and he'll have trembling. And so he'll have very fearful because he know he ain't lived right. But when you know you've lived the life, when you know that you have done all that you can do, and you have confidence that it's not now that it's not on the works that I did, but trusting in the final authority of the cross, of what Jesus has done for me, then you are glad. Glad. That's the cleansing of the conscience that the scriptures want us to be able to receive, the cleansing of the conscience. 1 Peter 1:2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and has set apart by the Spirit for obedience and for the sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. And so again, we see that the Spirit is essential here. It comes by the foreknowledge of God. God has passed out the Holy Spirit by the foreknowledge. Amen. It was already preordained. It was called foreknowledge of God. And the Father has set apart this knowledge himself by the Spirit. And so we see that the Spirit is active again. So he is a person. He is a person. We need to recognize him as a person. And when we refer to him as a person. I mean, after all, you don't want your children calling you by your first name. And I'm sure that, you know, since he's a person, he has emotions. We find that the scripture tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. And so we see he does have feelings. And by you calling him it, I mean, that's pretty sad. That would make me sad. You calling me it all the time. It, I'm a it, I'm a it, I'm a it. I'm not an it. I'm a person. I'm a person. I deserve the right to be treated as a person. A person. He's the one that convicts of sin. Jesus knew that they wanted to question him, so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? Yet a little while and you'll see me not, and then see me in a little while again, and you will see me again. He's a convictor of sin. He's a convictor of sin. That's what coming out of John chapter 16, verses 14. And John 16, verse 19. And so we see again in John 16, verse 14 and 15, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I told you he would take that which is mine and will declare it to you. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's always talking about Jesus. He's always declaring the work of God. He's not declaring the work of the prophet. He's not declaring the work of the apostle. He's not declaring the work of the evangelist. He's not declaring the work of the teacher. He's not declaring the work of the preacher. The Holy Spirit is only declaring the work of Christ. And we need to get a clear understanding on how to represent the Holy Spirit. We see over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, that he creates. The scriptures read, sola scriptura, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the watery surface, over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Over in Job 33, verse 4, he reads, the Spirit of God. So sheer are just countless. It says the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's countless and numerous of scriptures that point to the personage of the Holy Spirit being a person. He empowers, according to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance. You know what kind of men we were among you for your benefit. And so, in other words, the apostles lived some sort of life or a level of living that was holy. That was the one that stood out from among all other lifestyles. And they done it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and 4 tells us that the Holy Spirit fills. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak for speech. It's a controversial issue, but it's written. It's written. You know? Like I said, I'm keeping my comments down to a bare minimum. It's a very controversial issue, but it's written. And it's written about the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 and 29 and 31 says, "And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed this prayer, the place where they prayed this prayer, they were assembled together, and the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. It is in the instance where all people began to speak the message of the gospel, and it came in the power of boldness by the Holy Spirit, which is a person. Hey, listen, this has been your friend Andre Alexis. Some call me Bishop. I'm your brother in Christ. And I just want to let you know that we are winning. We are winning. We are winning. No matter what the situation may be, even if you flatline and be in a hospital, you can come out of the situation, and God will give you grace, because we are more than conquerors through him. Thank you, and I've been loving on you the best way I know how. God bless you. Black Prince of Preachers is back in your hand.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. On tonight, we thank God, Bishop Andre Alexis, on tonight. We thank God, hallelujah, for that education, hallelujah, that teaching, hallelujah, on the personalism of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not an it. It's not a force. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It is a person. Hallelujah. It is not an it. It's a person. He is a person. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah.
He's not just a person. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen, and he is God. Amen, praise God. We thank God for Bishop Alexis tonight and that powerful word. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. See, the better we understand God and who God is, and the different components of God, the Holy Trinity, hallelujah, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, the more we understand God, hallelujah, praise God, Amen. The more revelation he will begin to give us, the more our eyes will be open. Praise God. The closer relationship we'll be able to get. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Praise God. Hallelujah. To seek my face, meaning seek to see who I am. Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. We thank God for Bishop Alexis. Hallelujah. And that word tonight. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the man of God on tonight. Hallelujah. We ask that you replenish him the wisdom, the virtue, and the knowledge that he has poured on us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Rejuvenate him both mind, body, and soul, Lord. And we thank you on tonight and praise you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God on tonight. I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines on tonight. If there be one on tonight that has a testimony, prayer request, or a comment on the word of God on tonight, or a question about the word of God on tonight, hallelujah, we want to open up the line at this time. If there is one on the line tonight, feel free. The line is open. Praise God. Will there be one on tonight? Amen. Amen. We thank God on tonight. Hallelujah.
There is one. There is one, Elder. I'm that one tonight. I am that one tonight. I am grateful. You know the battle that I had this week, the battle that I had where I could not move. I my body had totally shut down.
Amen.
And my son had to carry me and lay me on the couch. I couldn't turn to my left. I couldn't turn to my right. I could not move at all. I had no mobility, none at all, period. No hands, no feet, no neck movement. I could not do nothing. And so I went to the hospital, and I was I went under the treatment. And as they gave me the treatment, I had flatlined. I had went out, you know. And they shot me up. They put my heart up. They gave me a shot of adrenaline and everything else and brought me back. And I had all these doctors. I don't even remember them, but my wife said there was about 8 doctors in the room that came into the room. And so everybody was just amazed. That was just amazed because they wasn't expecting for me to flatline. You know, I wasn't supposed to flatline. I was just there for a simple procedure. You know, to be dialyzed. You know, to get dialyzed. And so one thing went to another, and I'm saying that to say that God has a way of bringing you through. God has a way of bringing you through. You may not know how you're going to get through. But the situation goes to God will have the glory in the whole outcome. And that's what God does. God does everything for his glory. And so today I have a testimony that I didn't have, and I'm giving it now over this radio line, and I'm hoping that someone will hear me and listen closely as I make this announcement. We are winning, we are winning, we are winning because of what Jesus has done for us from Mount Calvary. He has donated his victory to us and gave us this victory. And so therefore, we can no longer just pour mouth the gospel. We can't do that. We're not in a position to do that. This gospel is the richest thing in the earth, in all of heaven and in all of earth. And we have the power within our mouth. And God has given us He has given us such a authority with it. He has given us such an authority with it. you know, to use it how we ought to use it. And so I'm saying that we ought to use it properly. And believe me, we will be judged on how we use it or how we don't use it. That's where judgment come in at. So I just wanted to say that. That's my testimony. That's my testimony, Elder. Thank you. Okay, I lost you.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Did someone get lost?
Well, I definitely did, but I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't hear him.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, we're still connected. Go ahead, Bishop.
Well, I just praise God for the Word of God and praise God for the Holy Spirit. When you talked about the Holy Spirit being so important in our life, and the question always comes when some say they don't need. Some people say they don't need to be baptized or be sealed with the Spirit. They just said that was for the old time, or that was for the time back then. But from all the things that you have pointed out tonight, it let us know that how can you be taught? How can you be led? How can you have power? How can you be resurrected? How can you do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? How can you be resurrected in that day except the Holy Spirit be within you? How do you have life except the Holy Spirit be with you? And so to all of those who say they don't need and they don't have to have, and that was for that day, I'm just here to say the Holy Spirit is for today and for tomorrow. And all that hasn't received is there for the asking. So if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, lift your hand right now and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, and he'll come in and fill you and abide with you. Not just, he said he just want to abide on you. He wants to live in you. And so ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in you. Not like the days of old when the Holy Spirit came upon the men and they spake, but now God said he's not just coming upon, but he's coming within to live within us. And so if there's someone tonight would like to be sealed, it's so easy, he said, if a son would ask bread of his father, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would he give him a serpent? And if your father being evil know how to give good gifts, how much so will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so if there's someone tonight, you realize that all the things that the Holy Spirit is, and you need that in your life, tonight will be the night for you to ask God to come in so that you would have the life in you, so that you will be raised in that day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was beautifully put, brother. That was beautifully put. Hallelujah.
Is there someone tonight? Is there someone out there tonight that want to be filled with the Spirit? And we want to pray with you right now for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, because it is the essential that he be in your life. If it hadn't been so essential or necessary, then Jesus wouldn't have said, I must go away so that the Holy Spirit can come unto you. He said it was necessary for him to go away. Is there someone tonight just so you can be filled?
Amen. I tell you what, Bishop, why don't, just for the sake of somebody who might be a little overbearingly shy, why don't we just go ahead on, why don't you just go ahead on and say a prayer, and maybe they will just follow along, and unfortunately they're not strong enough at this time to be bold enough, but we want to consider them, you know, because we remember we was weak at one time, and we didn't want to lift our hands up at one time. We just didn't do it, you know. So let's think about them. And you go ahead and lead them anyway, brother.
Amen. Oh, praise God, praise God. Let's just, you can lift your hand, hold your hand, but God will come in however you act. Let's just pray right now. Father God, we ask that you forgive us of all of our sin. And we thank you for the forgiveness that we receive through the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
And now, Father, because I've been washed by the blood, I'm asking you right now, Father, to fill me with your spirit, oh Father.
How many ready to thank the Lord for being alive here tonight?
Somebody praying. Somebody must have been receiving something, because that interruption we just had was just outrageous. That was outrageous interruption right there. You know, as sweet as the gospel is, it was so out of place because of the prayer that you was praying. Why don't you just pick it up one more time, brother, and let's close it out one more time.
Amen. Father God, we ask that you forgive us of all of our sin, and we thank you for the forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. And, Father, you have cleansed us and washed us with the blood, and we thank you. Father, we're asking, Father, that the Holy Spirit will come within our heart, that you would come and live with us, in us, Father, and lead us.